This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And welcome to America's Web Radio. It's time now for Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. And I think I sent you part of the reason for this show today, as well as we've been getting a whole lot of information and people saying this and people saying that about Obamacare. And of course, yeah. Obama did do the first shot, which probably caused all this, and that was to delay the mandate for companies paying for their employee insurance, and it was going to cripple a number of companies, so he put that off. I say mandate. This was actually the companies having to pay, and he put that off. But it's like everything else, don't you think, Dr. George? It's just all political.
Well, I think it's absolutely political. But what they're saying and what's actually going to happen are two different things. Think about the fact that the mandate only got delayed for large employers, but the individual mandate is still intact. And for small businesses, less than 50 people, they're still on the hook. So it actually didn't serve a majority of small business owners, only large corporations. So it's, again, this whole meme that it's all about the middle class and all about the working people, when in actuality, it's the farthest thing from the truth. I mean, people really, I know people want this thing to be gone so badly, they almost want to believe anything that's being said. But I would look at what it sounds bad, but anybody that's talking, if their lips are moving, you can bet it's not the truth, whether it's coming from Congress or the executive branch or anybody else, especially about Obamacare.
You know, this has been an ongoing problem, and I put out a thing the other day. Until I see some action out of Congress and some very strong action, I'm not going to believe a word. They've got to prove something to me, and so far, all we've got is a bunch of rhetoric, finger-pointing, and I'm going to do this, and we're going to get to the bottom. They hadn't gotten to the bottom of a half-inch pail of water.
Well, it's all rhetoric designed to put people to sleep and take them out of the game, and while business continues as usual. You know, I'm not a big fan of either the Republicans or the Democrats. I think they're both working for the same end, which is to get back in by any means necessary. It's obvious that this bill is a disaster, and it's also obvious that the people who voted for it want to distance themselves from it. So the move to delay implementation of this mandate until after 2014 is a way for people to think that it's never going to be implemented, not blame the people who voted for it, and somehow be, you know, ridiculous enough to vote these people back in as if what they're going to do is going to help them. And it's just so sad that the people who voted for this with the thought that they're going to finally get health care either as free or with a significant discount are going to actually end up paying a lot more for their health care than they actually do now. I mean, I think we talked about this, but they unveiled part of the insurance the bronze plan, and $2,500 is what people now have to come out of their pocket before the insurance kicks in. That means you'd better come up with $2,500 to go to see the doctor, to go to the emergency room, to have a procedure done before the insurance actually kicks in. And I've said this before, I want people to really understand there is a difference between health insurance and health care. They are not the same thing. And all they managed to do was make everybody buy health insurance. And I can tell you, after being practiced for 13 years now, that when people come into my practice with insurance, the first thing that they notice is that they have to pay more, that they thought, you know, they're paying monthly, but they still have to have more come out of their pocket. And if we decide that they need to get something done, they have to have the approval of the insurance company to have whatever it's done, whether it's a blood test, an allergy test, a procedure, an x-ray. It's getting completely crazy. And after Obamacare got implemented, we've had an increase in denials in what's allowed. What was allowed last year is now gatekeeper. It's, you know, there's gatekeeper policies in place to stop the patient from getting whatever it is done, or they have to pay more. And I can guarantee you that's only going to be on a larger scale when the government kicks in. I mean, this bill not only will supposedly add 30 million more people, but it now takes out more people paying into the system. If you don't have, you know, large corporations paying their fair share, and they're now out of the mandate. And on the flip side, I remember, did you hear about the other part of this, that you don't, on the honor system now, you can just say when you go into these exchanges, I don't make enough money and I need to be subsidized. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to have an IRS tax return. You don't have to have your W-2 form, your stub, nothing. You can just go in there and basically say, I need help. I need the government's help to pay for this. So now you've got the people who are, you know, the folks in the middle who don't fall into the category of a large corporation, have some ethics and morals and don't want to cheat. They're now going to be on the hook for everybody, including the immigrants, the illegal immigrants in this country who can enter Obamacare without having to pay a dime to enter it. Tell me how that works, Dave. There's no way it's going to work.
It works criminally. I think, you know, it's leading us to an underground medical system. It's leading us to, and the only thing that bothers me there is, or my concern is getting the drugs that one would need, but I guess possibly out of Canada one can get them. But it's just one more thing to make you dependent on the government, and at the same time, the government taking control of your life from every single direction that it can.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. It is, I'll say it every time I do an interview, it's about control. It's not about health care. Now, if you think about this, the government has their finger on, you know, on everything that involves our quality of life. The education system, that's run by the government if you happen to be in public education. You've got now, you know, the fact that people are, they're not employed, so they're dependent on benefits from the government, whether that be disability or if you have, I forget what it's called, but if you don't have a job, you're supposed to be getting
unemployment stuff.
Thank you very much. Now it's health care and Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, they're trying to expand every single government program. None of them work well. So now we're entering a system that's either too bloated, corrupt, inept, and we're supposed to just sit here and pay into the system and like it. That doesn't even make sense to me. Why would somebody want the government, who can't even run its own ship, to take control of your family and your family's health and pocketbook? It makes no sense to me.
Have you, and if you haven't, I will send it to you, have you seen the percentage of all the presidents, I've forgotten how far back it goes, like to Wilson or something like that, many years ago, many presidents ago, of the number of business people that were involved with the administrations over the years? You know, it'll range from, you know, 30% to 55%, 56%, something like that, of the people in the administration that have actively been in some kind of business, be it a small business or be it a large corporation. You know what Obama's administration is made up of as far as people that have been actually working and in business?
1% maybe?
5. Less than 5.
And I believe it.
You know, you can't, you know, we all have dreams. You know, I may dream of being the largest farmer in Texas or, you know, everybody has a dream, but along with that dream comes reality, and the reality of it is a government can't take care of everybody. The people have to take care of the government, and the government is responsible for safety, and that's where it should end. They don't need to be in medicine. They don't need to be in our back pockets. They don't need to tell us what's good or what's bad, where our kids should go to school or what they should read in school. That's not the government's job, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree with that. It's to protect the country, you know, our borders. It's to make sure that, you know, there are huge things like safety, like food safety. I think the government should take, you know, should take an active role in that. Unfortunately, the powers that be are listening to corporate interests and not for the well-being of the population. That's the major problem. If you take the money out of all of this, I think we'd have a much better run system. But there's too much money that's floating in that's not accounted for, that people don't know about, that gets more of a say-so than the person who votes for the people going into government. That's a major problem. And as long as that exists, everybody's voice is not, it's not one man or one woman, one voice. They could care less. As long as they can, you know, fix it in the last minute that you think everything's going to change, then that's their whole goal. That's this whole thing. People's memories are so short that they pray and they hope that somebody's going to fix it for them. But at this point, it comes down to the individual to take control back. Because as long as we decide to let Congress decide for us, like they care, then we're going to be in the same position. There's no question on that. I mean, this whole thing about Obamacare, instead of depending on Congress to end it, they're never going to do it. It's going to be talk, talk, talk. What you need to do is not enter the system. Don't play a game that's rigged. Don't join one of those exchanges. Go to your doctor and start discussing, I need to make a deal with you. We need to have a plan, whether that's a concierge, whether that's sliding scale self-pay, whether that's bartering, whatever you need to do to stay under the system. That's how it's going to break. That's what they're doing now. They're trying to lull people into the system by turning off or not emphasizing the bad parts of it. And anybody who thinks that they're going to, I mean, obviously the mandate will make you enter the system, but as we discussed before, there's ways around it. There's Christian ministries where you can join the share, many share kind of programs, where if you are a Christian, then you pay into the system and you share the medical expenses. That actually gets carved out of Obamacare. There's plenty of ways around this. If you decide to not play the game, it'll choke and it'll fall away. It cannot be implemented. But if you use fear or you fall into the fear, under the fear tactics, then you will absolutely become a victim.
Well, unfortunately, getting the word out and getting the people to understand that there are alternatives is the biggest problem. You know, there are people walking down the street that don't even know Obamacare is in effect, that it's there. It's amazing to me. You know, the other thing that I don't know why, but I take this very personally. Our Constitution, Obama has, and Congress has let him get away with it. They've just torn our Constitution to pieces. And, you know, Obama saying, okay, well, we're going to put this off for another couple of years or for a year as far as the companies are mandated. A bill is signed. He has no power to do that. And nobody's saying anything about it. And for some reason that everything else irritates me, but that really upsets me that nobody in Congress has enough gumption to stand up and say, wait a second, Mr. President, you signed it. It's law. You can't arbitrarily change what you signed.
It has to go through Congress.
Yeah.
And it has to be voted on. But, you know, that's the way most of this system seems to be working these days. It's either an executive order. It's an enforce what we want to enforce and not other things. Immigration is a perfect example. Why have an immigration policy or laws in effect that people just get to flout and then reward them for it? Free health care, free education, you know, whatever. You know, the American citizens, this is my favorite. This is a little bit off point, but this immigration bill allows criminals to become American citizens. You can have three... I don't know if they're, I hope they're not felonies. I can't remember if they were felonies or not. But the examples they use were things like domestic abuse,
theft, you know, things like that.
Misdemeanors,
you can have
basically.
Three of those. Well, I think domestic abuse is really over the top.
Yeah.
And you're going to get rewarded by becoming an American citizen and then being able to bring in second and third degree relatives into the country. And, hey, if I'm an American citizen, my laws don't apply to you, but they apply to me. What kind of thing is that? How can somebody sign a bill that has that in it? And I really want to know who wrote that into the bill. I would love to know that. It's incredible, isn't it?
It's beyond. Let's take a break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Moms, dads, listen to my radio program, Homeschooling for Today, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll learn all about how to homeschool on America's Web Radio.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George. Dr. George, I know of only one thing, and I every morning I go online on Facebook and put this out. If nothing else, and I did it around your show today, please, before Medicine on Call or at 10 o'clock after Medicine on Call, call your congressman and just bitch. Just tell him you're unhappy, you're fed up, and give a, you know, if we could stop up their switchboards and let them know that we do have a voice and we are somebody out here to contend with. And the same way with the senators, let them know if the House doesn't get a resolution for impeachment soon, then you're not going to be reseated in come 2014, and the senators should be the same way.
All they care about is the next cycle. It's either about raising money, gathering the troops to make another run. When they get in there, concentrate on the next iteration of that. It's not about anything else. I don't even understand. These guys don't even read bills. How are you part of a legislative branch? You are the legislative branch, yet you pass bills you don't even read. You have bills written by by lobbying groups, by your pages, everybody but you. What do you do all day? That's what you're supposed to do. I have the same pet peeve about the Supreme Court when Scalia said that he couldn't be bothered to read the health care bill. Thank God he voted against it. But the point that you're a Supreme Court justice, you can't bother to read a bill that you're about to rule on. It's insulting to the American people for somebody to say something like that. And for Nancy Pelosi to get away with You need to pass it to know what's in it. Everybody should be, they should be voted out summarily for making statements like that. This is exactly why we're in the situation that we're in now, that they can get away with passing bills like that Monsanto Act, which basically makes them blameless for anything, any down the road, any complication, any health risk, any death associated with a genetically modified crop that they're associated with. Just like the vaccine industry. As soon as that rule went into effect that the vaccine makers could not be sued no matter what happened to you or your child, then it was an explosion. There's a vaccine for everything all of a sudden. They're coming up with things that, you know, anti-smoking, against HIV. I wouldn't touch any of those things. The ones that I have on the market now, for example, measles, there was a huge outbreak in measles after this vaccine was pushed on people. And I'm not a fan of the vaccine industry at all. I think it's corrupt. I think it's killing patients. And I think it's part of the medical industrial complex to control you. They're keeping kids, they're actually giving kids vaccines in some states without even letting the parents know. What happened to the sanctity of parents having control over what happens to their children? It's an onslaught of the government and entities that have more control and more say-so in your child's life than you do. And as long as you guys, whomever is watching or listening to this, if, you know, the next football game or the next reality show is more important than what's going on in your child's school with your child, then there's a problem, and you're part of that problem. It's time for you to take responsibility for your kid. You know, don't let somebody else raise them. This is what, I mean, ultimately, the society is going to be affected by these people, these children that are now small but will eventually become members of the society. I don't know where we're going to be when that happens. It's actually quite frightening.
Oh, beyond. Speaking of statements, I don't know if you heard that this past weekend, Diane, our illustrous other senator, Feinstein,
right,
made the statement. And I know that you deal with a lot of veterans. So I want to ask you, Diane Feinstein said that all veterans were mentally ill and shouldn't be able to purchase weapons.
Really? All? That's an interesting statement.
Oh, yeah. She
and nobody said anything to that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's been, you know, the news media obviously didn't do it, but it's been all over the place. And her statement, she was giving a speech and said that, you know, all veterans were mentally ill and they should not be allowed to purchase firearms.
Wow.
Of the veterans that come to your office and work with you on their whatever their problems may be, and most of them related obviously to their service time, how many of them, am I crazy because I come in and I've gotten a broken nose because I was in the military?
No. Absolutely not. I'm speechless that somebody, that she would actually think that she could get away with saying something like that. And I'm even more appalled that she did get away with saying something like that. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, I mean, again, let's frame this under Obamacare. Once you start talking about electronic medical records, once you force doctors under meaningful use guidelines to put in information such as, if you ever wanted to hurt yourself, if you've ever been on any kind of antidepressant medication or anti-anxiety medication for whatever reason, as soon as you enter that system, that data into the system, then it can be mined for those, looking for those red flags, and then it's going to become one of those things where it doesn't matter what your doctor says, doesn't matter what reality is. The fact that you've had the medication means, by definition, you've got a problem. Then your rights get taken away. This is all set up. This is what they're trying to do. It's trying to tie somebody. If you're a veteran, automatically there's a problem. Mm-hmm. If you've ever taken antidepressant medicine, let's say you had a death in the family, or you wanted to give a speech, you needed any anxiety medication to calm yourself, to give yourself to do the speech. If you've had the prescription written, it's now in a database for the pharmaceutical companies can access it, the health insurance companies can access it, now under Obamacare. I don't even know how many agencies can access it, but I do know that the HHS can access it. It's going to be used against you. Your medical information under the guise of Obamacare, in my opinion, is a very short time, if it's not already being done, will be used against you.
Well,
it could be wrong. It could be entered incorrectly. It doesn't matter. You won't even know it happened.
And they're cross uses of drugs.
Absolutely.
And they seem to paint a broad brush that if you're on X, Y, and Z, no matter what it's being used for or what it was prescribed for, well, then you must be mentally ill and you can't buy a weapon. And it's happening.
Dave, it's happening, no question. But it's not. That's only one aspect of it, Dave. Think about how this whole grid can come into focus and into effect here. Let's use your example. You use an antidepressant medication to stop smoking. That's what some of these things do. Well, Butrin is one of the medicines that is used to help you stop smoking, but it's also an antidepressant medication. You can get dinged because of that. Let's talk about weight and smoking, okay? So you're a smoker. You happen to be on disability or you happen to lost your job, so you have to take government benefits. Under Michael Bloomberg's kind of system, they're going to tie what you can buy in terms of your electronic benefits card on what you can buy from the supermarket. You know, if you're overweight, you're probably not going to be able to buy any more sodas anymore. Or if you're a history of smoker or smoking, you won't be able to buy a pack of cigarettes with it. This is all about top-down collective control where the individual becomes secondary. Everybody knows what's best for you. You can't make up your own mind for yourself. And to top it off, if you're costing the government, which is everybody in society, money, then we're going to make sure that we control you. If your BMI, that's one of the meaningful use things in our world, is to put in your weight and your height, which generates your basic metabolic index, which if you're overweight, you know, or obese, they're going to start deciding that, hey, you're at risk for costing us money. You're at risk for heart attack, stroke. You might end up in an ICU or need weight loss surgery, and you're going to be too expensive. So we're going to shut this down now. And it's going to start when your children, the pediatricians are going to start driving this. So this is going to be controlled from the time you're born to the time you die. And you better be able to stay within the parameters of whatever is deemed to be normal, whether that's mentally, physically, or otherwise, you're going to be somehow aced by the system. Does that make sense to you? I mean, it's like some sort of science fiction society that we're moving towards. And I can't believe that people are just sitting here, just oblivious. Not everybody. I think there's a growing number of folks who get it. But the majority of people with the bumper stickers, how they love Obamacare, you want to cry. I can't figure out if I want to cry or laugh for them. I haven't figured out which one yet, but they're about to get a reality check.
They're going to get a real good reality check come January the 1st. Let's take a break here. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can, in some cases, stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, talking about, you know, and I want to put something out to you, if this is okay, Dr. George. If somebody has a suggestion, you know, it's almost like I want to form a prayer group of waking people up. But if somebody, the folks that are listening, if you have an idea, email Dr. George or email me here at the station, and let's talk about it. How do we get to the people that are just totally uninformed? The kids that are sitting on the couch playing with their thumbs, even at 23 or 24 or 25, you know, they're not going to get it until they get kicked out of the nest and have to fend for themselves. But the adults out there that, for whatever reason, they don't listen to the news or they don't listen to whatever they need to be listening to. If you've got an idea how we can get to them, please let us know.
We're all in it together, and everybody's idea counts. I'd be happy to have someone who's got a great idea on the show so we can talk about it, because it's all about us deciding that we want to become a group. To fight this. What they do is they divide and conquer constantly. First it was pitting parents against with children against everybody. Then it's pitting women for birth control issues against everybody. Then it's pitting young against seniors. It's everybody fighting everybody while they're passing these laws and implementing this bill, which is hurting everybody. As soon as you're 27, you get kicked off your parents' insurance. There's a lot of young folks. I talked to one of my colleagues who are really complaining about how much it costs for a healthy person, healthy young person, to buy insurance. It's because they're subsidizing the fact that there's not enough healthy young people in this pool, and there's a lot more senior and sicker populations already accessing this insurance. There's nothing about Obamacare that they said was going to happen that did. Let's face facts. Remember at the beginning they said they were going to have a pool for catastrophic, people with diseases that are chronic? That went bankrupt. They don't allow anybody else to join that particular system because they don't have enough money in it. Just imagine, that's on a small scale, what will happen when they try to implement that nationwide. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It doesn't even work on a small scale. I mean, it's just so toxic. I just can't even begin to tell you. Even these exchanges, remember they talked about how the whole point of an exchange was for competition. The insurance companies would enter this exchange. People would be able to shop around, and they would be able to get the cheapest price. Well, guess what? In California, for example, UnitedHealthcare has just exited the healthcare market in California, one of the biggest markets in the country. UnitedHealthcare is, if not one, at least, if not number one, definitely number two in terms of the size of the health insurance companies in this country. And if they realized that the writing was on the wall, they were going to lose money, and they left. Imagine what's going to happen when the whole thing starts to come online. There's also some states like Oregon where there's only one insurance company in the exchange. Tell me how that one works, where they're going to have competition. They get to set the price. You have to buy it and like it.
Is there such as monopolistic competition?
Yes, called the government.
Ah.
Yeah, you know, it's sad, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? The irony of it is, you know, AARP, which is joined at the hips with United Healthcare and supported Obamacare, and yet here United Healthcare is moving out of California. Is there some kind of oxymoron, hypocrisy there that is hard to figure?
It's not hypocrisy. They're very consistent. It's all about the money. UnitedHealthcare realized that they could cut their losses because they weren't the biggest player in California, and they were just going to concentrate on other states that they have more covered lives, more people that carry their insurance, and concentrate where they can make the most money. This is all about the money. The insurance companies got in bed thinking, hey, it's going to be 30 million more people. They got to go somewhere. We're going to get a buck. Mark my words, if and when this whole thing gets implemented and it collapses, we are on a one-way road to single payer, where the government, it's Medicare for all, and that was the whole purpose of the entire thing. Maybe they might use insurance companies as like a Medicare Advantage type of situation where they're the go-between or the adjunct, but they're not going to operate as private insurance companies down the road after this whole thing fails. And they're going to tie doctors' licenses to taking this crappy insurance. There's no other way it could work. Or maybe they'll just continue to outsource and get foreign doctors and other extenders to become the primary caregivers in the country. That's the direction it's moving. And then you have my favorite, the foreign medical schools popping up everywhere. There's tons in the Caribbean all of a sudden who are producing doctors who, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, I wouldn't send my cat to. And that's what we're coming to. And people will have no other avenue except to use this system. My advice at this point, if you want to enter the system and you don't care, you just want the government rule you, then you better stay healthy. That's my ultimate advice for those who want to put their heads in the sand. Don't get sick.
Well, it comes back to, and we've talked about this before, if I control your health, I control you.
You bet you. Your health and your pocketbook and your mind, then they've got you. So the education system is, I don't even want to call it that anymore. I think it's an indoctrination camp. You've got the health system where over 70% of people are on some sort of prescription medication. Did you see that article recently?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And then of those people, I think like 80% or more were on more than like 9 or 10 medications. That's a ton of medication. Nobody's healthier. People are sicker and dying than droves. So, you know, again, how is all this prescription medication really keeping us healthy? Is it really just trapping us in a system where you take one medication, then have to take another one for the side effect of the first one, and while you're just going downhill the entire time until, you know, you've reached a point that the medications will no longer work, then they put you in a hospice, and it's just medication from cradle to grave. That's not a system that we should really be, as physicians, advocating, in my opinion.
Well, I think, you know, we're all looking at, or I'd say we're all, we have to start being able to take care of ourselves, be it the food we eat, be it the gardens we grow or the labels we check before we buy it. We have to learn to take care of ourselves and put the right, you know, there's a saying in that's been around for years with regard to computers, garbage in, garbage out. Well, same thing with the human being. If you exercise, get rest, and eat well, you're not going to have all these medications. Obviously, some cases you will, but not, you know, certainly not to the extent that we're doing them today.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it's only been about 15 years since I graduated from medical school. People used to come in. I mean, the number of folks with colon cancer, the number of folks that had breast cancer was a fraction of what it is today. Hypertension. I mean, I see 20-year-olds on cholesterol medication. That was never the case. I mean, it was a senior citizen maybe with one disease, high cholesterol or heart disease, you know, I mean, or diabetes. Now it's everything. Everybody's got everything, and they're getting it younger, and they're not being cured of it. So there has to be some system in place that's driving this disease. The first thing that I would look at is the food industry. I mean, Pepsi, there was an article that just came out a couple of days ago that the food coloring in Pepsi, the thing that gives it the brown color, is a carcinogen. And Pepsi was told to take it out. They only took it out in the state of California, but in, I think, Maryland and other states, it's still in there. So basically, when you're drinking Pepsi or anything that's a Pepsi product that's brown-colored, basically, you're playing Russian roulette with your health. That's a problem for me. You've got the genetically modified food industry with animal studies just coming out almost daily about how toxic that stuff is, spontaneous abortion, sterility, tumor formation in mice. Just look it up on the internet. You'll see it in droves. Yet they're allowed now under this Monsanto law to do whatever they want, kill you if they like to, and they're not liable. You can't sue them. They're held blameless, harmless. Who allowed that bill to go on except somebody who has something to gain? Which congressperson stood to gain from that? That's all you have to ask yourself. Where's the money coming from? Who stands to gain? Follow the money. And if it's coming in from a situation where you can't identify it, or that entity actually really makes a windfall at your expense, then I would choose not to play the game and buy the product or vote for the person. It's us. We have to stop allowing the system to run. It cannot run without us. I like to use medicine as an example. What's going on in healthcare now would never have happened if the doctors didn't run scared, put their head in the sand, and if patients didn't allow the situation to happen. If doctors and patients had stood up at the beginning and said, we're not doing this, I don't care what you say, if I don't see one patient, then I'm not taking your insurance, it would have stopped. And if we still have a position that we can do something about it, if people take that attitude, not on my watch, I'm not going to pay for my own demise. I'm not going to allow you to treat me like I'm a moron and still vote for you. If we just take this attitude, I think this whole thing would stop. You know, ultimately, we are in control of our own fate. I don't believe in being a victim. And every time I see a patient or I go on a radio show or my show, this is the mantra. Choose not to be a victim. Take control of your health, your pocketbook, your person, and stop letting these people who care less about you run the show. They don't care about you. They care about your vote. They care about your taxes, but they don't care about you.
Do you think, and if I recall right, our life expectancy now for women is 77 or something like that, average life expectancy, and for men, I believe it's 72. Or somewhere in that neighborhood. Do you think we may go down, and I won't be around to watch it, but do you think there's a possibility we may be one of the first countries in the world to hit a peak and then start going back down because of our lifestyle?
I think it's already happened, actually. Yes, to put it mildly. I mean, if you look at our food industry versus other countries, they don't even allow genetically modified foods in some countries. Some of these, like the dyes in Mountain Dew, not allowed, and Fresca, the things that give it the golden color, mm-hmm. Not allowed. They don't even allow some of our beef products or the beef to leave our country, and it's not even sold in parts of Europe. But it's okay for us, you know, no matter what other countries, you know, outlaw, it seems like it's fine for us to do it because it's disgusting. I just really... Why can't they have genetically modified food labeling? There's no reason why you can't at least have a choice on what you eat. Because Congress is working against you because they're getting paid to do so. That's the only reason that I can see straight up.
Okay.
So
it's the only reason that makes sense.
I'm sorry?
It's the only reason that makes sense. They're getting paid.
It has to. But ultimately, okay, so they're not going to label it. You know you have to eat organic food. Maybe you want to forgo the movie this week. Maybe you want to forgo the extra video game. But I think it's worth it to live a long, healthy life instead of being stuck on some medication or, God forbid, you know, have your life expectancy drop because of these people. I say stop giving them the power, and, it does cost, unfortunately, to be healthy, but there will reach a critical mass when people, enough people, I think only 5% of the people, have to start choosing organic, and it'll drive the big box companies to start offering more of it and to start dropping the price. That's the bottom line. You want to pay $2 for some Fritos versus $5 for organic chips. If you keep doing it long enough, those organic chips will become the norm. The Fritos will start making healthier products, so they'll drop out, and the price will drop. That's free market.
Let's take a break on that. We're going to be right back on Medicine on Call right after this.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and light weight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat 3 well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with 2 snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Dr. George and Medicine on Call. And sometimes our off-mic talks are more fun sometimes. But I was just talking about, it's I wish we could expose the world or expose our next-door neighbor, in fact, to what vegetables out of a garden taste like. The difference, well, one, they have taste, and two, how much better they are. I haven't sprayed anything on my garden. I've had to pick some things away from my garden that I didn't, some of the bugs that I didn't like. But no spray, no artificial anything, but the taste is just so much difference.
Well, not only the taste, but the vitamin, the nutritional content is so much different. I mean, the fact that the nutritional status of the country is so poor, and even those folks who eat healthy are still vitamin deficient and still, lack certain minerals. And I believe, and I'm sure I'm not alone, there's plenty of doctors who would tell you that a lot of diseases start with nutritional deficiency. And if we were to eat properly, a lot of the stuff like high blood pressure, even diabetes, would be so much less in the population, and obesity, obviously. It's just sad. And cancer, too, for that matter. It's time that we really start, again, you can't depend on other things, other folks, to take care of you. It's time for you to really start making a conscious choice to take care of yourself in every way, emotionally, physically, monetarily. It's about saving. It's about preparing for, disasters, whether that means getting stored food, getting water that you actually you save, canned goods, whatever it is that you think that you need, it's time to start putting that away and save for it. What if, instead of depending on the system to help you? I mean, if we don't learn nothing from New York and New Jersey, and the fact that those folks, when that hurricane came, came through and flooded everything, they didn't have food. They were stuck in their apartments. I don't even want to know how awful that was. But they were unprepared, and nobody could help them. I personally would never want to be in that position, and I would encourage everybody to take steps so that they can at least protect themselves and their family for at least a week or two in case some disaster happens. So they're not going to have to go to some sort of way station or catchment for some government entity to take care of them. It's not going to work out the way they think it is.
Never has and never will. You couldn't have hit it better on the head that people, you know, and it's so easy to be prepared. It's not, you know, it's not a big deal. Even if you started today, you buy one thing at a time, maybe, or, mm-hmm. or two or three things when you go to your wherever you go, and just prepare. It's that simple.
You know, when you're prepared, this is what I find. When you're prepared, you're never driven by fear. And if you're not driven by fear, then you have intellectual capacity intact. As soon as you start to be driven by fear, your brain turns off, and it all becomes emotion, and you're also easily led when that happens. And you just have to wonder who's leading you where. But if you have an intellectual, critical thinking capacity, a lot of things that people tell you don't make a lot of sense, and you end up not falling into a trap. That's my take-home message from today's show. If you're prepared, you do not live in fear, and if you don't live in fear, you have control of your own destiny. That's the key.
You know, I putting something with that, and that was beautifully said, and it's so true. That's also the fear is also the apparatus of the bully.
True.
And that's what our government is trying to do, is bully us into doing this, bully us into, and if you stand up to a bully, they won't be a bully anymore.
No, they stop being a bully. They run the opposite direction generally. I think that's an excellent, I agree with that completely, Dave. And it's about either making, and this is also, stop trying to be part of the whole. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody is put on this earth to do the same thing. That doesn't mean make you less valuable or more valuable than anybody else. But being an individual is a plus. I mean, that's the other thing. Being an individual now is frowned upon. Somehow you're an outlier and you're a threat. We need to stop that meme from becoming any more valid than it's become. Being an individual is an asset. And when you're an individual, then you won't fall for what everybody else is falling for.
Yeah, I was just saying, what do they do when they want to get votes and with Obamacare and everything else? Well, you know, if you don't vote for this and you're elderly, you're going to just be thrown over a cliff. What?
Exactly.
That's bullying. That's the.
Or, oh, my favorite, if you don't vote for this, you're racist.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what race you are; it's you're racist.
Exactly. Whatever.
It's become a word game, and I hate to bring up. Well, I don't, because we are talking about politics, and it's a whole, and we're talking about medicine with the fact that from a health standpoint, but also from the psychological games that our government has been playing. And the more I get into this Benghazi thing, how could the movie thing is just beyond the pale to me. How could they come up with, well, it was all due to a video? Why? What would have been wrong with we're not blaming it on anything. We're checking into it. We may have made some mistakes. We may have made some mistakes. I can handle that. I'm a big boy. We all make mistakes. But to come out and blame everything, that's the other thing. Blame it on something else, but not on me.
Well, that's another problem that I think with society. Nobody wants to take responsibility for what they do. And it is always somebody else's fault or some other problem. I couldn't do it because somebody was against me or it wasn't fair. Nothing's fair. Life isn't fair. And I don't owe you anything, you know, except to treat you as I expect to be treated and not to physically or emotionally harm you intentionally. That's what that's what people should in society actually do. But we have a society, government down, that do things to people, get called on it, act like they didn't have any idea that it happened, and then lie to cover themselves and then continue to lie. The lie gets bigger with no apology. And the problem is we don't seem to be calling people on it. You know, and if you do call somebody on it, you've got someone to try to knock you down by calling you a name or somehow embarrassing you or calling you out as an outlier. You know, you're not part of the whole. There's something wrong with you. It's a bad system. It needs to stop. And every person, I hope, listening to the show will talk to their friend or family member and start the process. Because once we get back our society and we start really being individuals once again, this whole collectivism, this government-driven, top-down approach, central planning approach to life will stop.
We've got to do it. It has to be started, and it has to start with people educating themselves and doing something, finally doing something.
Yeah, you can't talk about it. You have to actually do it now.
And they have to be motivated and see that that's our only choice is to take it in our hands and do it, period.
Exactly.
What do you see in your crystal ball? Just the worst times coming ahead as people realize that the Obamacare is not going to cover them like they think?
I think they're going to realize that it was a tax and that they're not going to get what they thought they were going to get. They're going to get money taken away from their paycheck, goes into a black hole. And unfortunately, the worst-case scenario is I predict no one will ever get a tax return again because it will all be used for Obamacare. Once they actually re-implement the mandate and they start checking your finance to see if you're eligible for supplemental coverage, you know, help with paying it, then the game is going to be afoot at that point. The government will know everything you make, no more, you know, working off the books, no more making money through the internet, you know, selling stuff on eBay. That stuff's gone. They're going to count every dime you make, and it will be used against you, basically. So we've got a tax going 24/7 now.
Incredible. Well, we've come to the end of our road for the day. Dr. George, as always, thank you, and we will look forward to being with you again next week.
Have a great week, everybody. Hang in there.
Take care.